Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 is where we're going to look tonight. Luke chapter 21. We want to read about 10 verses, I guess. Verses 29 to verse 38 is where we're looking tonight. So, I'll read these for us, starting in verse 29. And if you would follow along, I'll read for us here, starting in verse 29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now here Jesus is sharing, we'll look at the last couple of verses a little bit later, but here Jesus is summing up, he's summing up the future. The beginning of chapter 21 and all the chapter has is a look ahead prophetically, and a look ahead even past our time if we were to read the whole thing. What I want to look at tonight is what are we supposed to do in the meantime? I believe he speaks of his second coming. He speaks of the time of the tribulation. And then he speaks about the kingdom coming to, he said, on the earth. But what are we supposed to do in the meantime? If you've been watching the news, it's grieving. And whether we know it or not, we're going to find out just what war's like again. We saw this afternoon, and maybe there's more, we don't know, that three American servicemen died in the last 24 hours, five seriously injured in the attacks on Iran and so forth. Now that pales in comparison to what the regime was doing to their own people. As we read, some of you were here that Wednesday night, we read a missionary's letter of policemen. Military, and these were official guys of the regime that were literally killing people just indiscriminately, driving down there. I think there's video that you can see about it. I don't recommend it, but this is the kind of people that they're going up against. But in light of that, some are starting to think, and already, oh man, Jesus is on his way. And he could be. He could be, let me tell you. He did not need this war to do that. But there are some things that God shows us. So that's what I'm saying is sometimes our mind goes to the passages like this to help us, remind us that we should not be sleep, that we should not be sleeping, but sleepless. Notice verse number 36 again. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. God wants us, desires us to be awake for these things, watching, paying attention as God unfolds the future. We don't know when the Lord's coming. Because we don't know when the Lord's coming, we also don't know when the tribulation or necessarily his kingdom will be settled. But we do know what he wants us to do in the meantime. And that's what I'd like to look at this passage for about tonight, Luke chapter 21 here. So before we go any further, let's pray. Let's pray. This passage shows us that there is much to watch for, much to watch for. Watching for God's kingdom. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we look in your word tonight. Prepare us, Lord, for what's coming, but help us to see what you'd have us to do even now. May you get the glory through these things, Lord. Pray that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up, and we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Watching for God's kingdom. Verse 29. Again, let's take a look here. Verse 29. Earlier in the chapter, he talks about Jerusalem being destroyed and other parts of the world, but specifically there. But in verse 29, he says this, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." So the first watch I believe God is encouraging us to do is to watch Israel. Watch Israel. And you say, well, we're doing that. Well, not always. Not always. Remember the country that we have generations now who weren't alive before Israel became a country in 1948. It became a state once again, and the Jews have struggled against their neighbors over time, and of course today, from all over the globe, they began to migrate into the land. And since that time, Israel has been one of the most prosperous countries, the most in the Middle East. As of 2025, I found this interesting, Israel had the 23rd largest economy out of about 190 recognized in the world, with a gross domestic product per capita, which means this is roughly about what one person in the land can live or lives on, $60,000. To compare that to the United States, our gross domestic product per capita ranks in the 11th. You thought it was first, but it's not. you got these small kingdoms that are full of millionaires and so forth on the French Riviera and things like that. Those are more higher than the United States. But on the average, the per capita ranks 11th at 89,000. And I know what you're thinking. Where's our? But that's how they calculate these things out. And in 2025, that's what they say. These numbers are used simply to measure the economic standard of living per person within a country. And if we were to go visit other countries, folks, it would be hands down. We live pretty high and pretty well. Yep. Even the ones that seemingly would think they got nothing have more than what many do in other countries. But my point is this, Israel will be in a time of fruitfulness, a time of fruitfulness. He says, behold the fig tree as they begin to come to fruit. The Middle East will be a significant part of the world. Duh, right? That's where it is today. But it wasn't always that way. It has not always been on the center of the news stage. And certainly countries like Israel, Syria, Egypt, of course, Iran, which is part of the old Medo-Persian Empire, and Iraq, Babylon, and then Saudi Arabia, all those are right in the center of what's going on tonight as far as news goes. So watch Israel, the Bible says. Jesus said, keep your eyes open and see that we're not always going to be under the oppression of, say, Rome at the time and so forth. Things will change. Secondly, verse 32, take a look. He says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Number two, watch God's word. Watch God's word. God's word is applicable. Verse 32 tells us, heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass. Roughly 1900 years ago or so is when this book, the book of John, would have been authored by the apostle through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And then God preserved it for us today. And I'm so glad he has, aren't you? Yeah. He's preserved his word for you and for me. And we don't have his writings any longer. Most believe the reason is because it was circulated and, of course, copies were made so that it could be distributed to different churches. And as time goes on, if you ever had a book that got worn out, their parchments and so forth were much less stable than what we even use today. So as God's preservation, he's kept his word available for us. Amen. The Bible applies not just to others, but to us and our heart. Read it, receive it, respond to it, rehearse it. Would you go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We'll get to Psalm in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 23. And Take a look at verse number 12. Would you read this verse with me? Proverbs 23. Let me wet the whistle for a second. Proverbs 23, verse number 12. Let's read it together, shall we? Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. God says his word will always be applicable to life. Of course, the culture and all that can be seen in the Bible at the time it was recorded, but its principles and truth are still applicable today and will always be, amen? Will always be. There's no time when this book goes out of date, and we need to use it and put it into practice today. God's word is applicable. God's word is eternal. If you go back and take a look at verse 33 again here in Luke, he says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Even if everything you see is gone, the word of God will continue. 1 trillion years from today, God's people will still hunger for God's word. We'll have the privilege to not only have it, but see it. Think about that. So who's the word today? The word is Jesus. And we'll see him face to face. He's given us it written. It's written down for us to learn and to apply. But there will be a time we'll see him face to face. If you know Christ, if you've accepted him as your Savior, you'll see him face to face. And God's word is not only applicable, it's not only eternal, it is reliable. It is reliable. Psalm 119, verse 89, if you want to look there, here's what it says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is reliable. It's not going to let us down. God's truths are true all the time. And I praise the Lord we have something that's true all the time. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
We can rely on these things. Sometimes we have things that if you ever purchased something and you purchased because it had a warranty on it or a guarantee, how many know what I'm talking about? The refrigerator, the car, or whatever. And within that warranty, you know, if anything happens, they still won't cover everything. if you found that out. But once that's done, now it's a different situation. Well, with God, his word is reliable to the end. It's the same. And he says it's settled in heaven. Watch Israel. Watch God's word. By the way, to watch Israel, you should be praying for Israel.
Yes.
Love it. Care for it. Even today. And we ought to pray for our leaders always to have that same desire. I think there's a group that are against Israel. That are in leadership in our country. And we ought to pray that God replaces them with someone who would love them,
yes,
who would care for them. Even if we don't agree on everything, that we would agree with that, because that's the one promise God made to nations. If you love my, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and he told Abraham, those that love thee, I'll bless them as well. Watch God's word, watch Israel. Number three, let's go back, Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Verse 34. The Bible says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Watch what you love. Watch what you love. Verse 20 or 34 says, take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged. That's what's going on the inside. What is it that I put my care, my time, my emotions to? What is that that's most important? Well, it's the things that I love. Maybe people, maybe time, etc. But those are important things that the Lord wants us to consider. He says, here's some things to consider as you consider your heart overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Lay aside the weight of sinful things. Drunkenness is no place in the Christian life. In fact, I believe the way to stay away from drunkenness is Stay away from alcohol. Yeah, if you don't drink, you won't get drunk. It's as simple as that. Surfeiting means simply excess, too much of something that might not be helpful to you. That can be anything. That can be clothes, it can be food, it can be other extravagant things, other things in life. What are those folks that we say when their house is filled from the floor to the ceiling? And hoarding. Yeah, hoarding. That's kind of the idea there, excess, sinful habits. Lay aside the weight of sin. Confess, repent, change our minds about what we're doing and do it God's way. Submit to the Lord, rejoice, and exercise something that we don't hear a lot anymore, self-discipline. Self-discipline. We're waiting for somebody else to tell us what to do, and God says, guess what? That other person is you. That other person is me, for me, myself. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to look there, we can. Verse 1 and 2 in Hebrews chapter 12 says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lay aside the weight of sin, those things that hold us back. And that's easy, right? That's the lifelong struggle, is Lord handing it over to him and giving him what he says needs to be his and not ours, or that we can't handle. Temptation, of course. Temptation is not sin, by the way, but giving into it is. Doing what Satan would have us to do, or the flesh, that's where we go wrong. Lay aside not only the weight of sin, but lay aside the cares of the world. Verse 34. I'm in chapter 22. Here we go. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Lay aside the cares of the world. This is where the New Testament talks about those cares that appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How can we combat that? Well, one way is to walk in the Spirit of God. Walk with the Holy Ghost, guiding and directing our life. Would you go to Galatians chapter 5? And this is the combat that he shares with us. Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a look. And let's see, starting in verse 22. Let's read verse 22 to verse 26 responsively, please. I'll read verse 22. If you would read verse 23 back and forth, verse 26 as the last verse here in this passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. As we walk in the Spirit, here's what God promises. Here's some fruit. Here's the fruit that will come from that. And notice that temperance is in there, that self-discipline, along with all the others, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, etc. Lay aside the cares of the world. Are there cares in this world that sometimes need our attention? How many of you have ever had a vehicle break down? Okay. Or had something in the house not work properly, and it ends up on the floor, or whatever. You know, those things sometimes have to be taken care of, but obviously on a regular basis, God wants us to consider. And even at those times, we can walk in the Spirit and accomplish things and even be a testimony for him in that. Lay aside the cares of the world. We're going to hear about what's going on the other side of the earth in the next few days. And I urge you to pray for our men and women in the military. I don't know how many are saved or not, but they need our support in prayer. And that this would be done quickly. Quickly. What's the best kind of wars? The ones that end quickly. And with victory. So lay aside the cares of the world, but certainly, and we're going to get to the prayer part as well. But lay aside. Pursue the transformed life. Romans chapter 12. If you want to go there, you can look with me in verse 1 and 2. Talking about what you love, pursue the transformed life. And every time we use the word trans today, sometimes that has a negative approach to it. But guess what? God's approach is positive when it says transformed. Transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That renewing in Christ daily, as he said in the Gospels, to take up our cross, die daily. Paul said, I die daily for the Lord and give him my life every day. It's not just good enough to do it and then say, well, I did that 20 years ago. Praise God, I had that experience when I was a kid, right after I got. No, God says, daily, would you come to me and offer yourself to me and let Jesus become the mold that I can put you in, transformed. Watch what you love. As we think about his coming someday, watch what you love. And then finally, let's go back to Luke again here, chapter 21. And look with me at verse 36 again. He says in verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him. Watch in, here's the final thought, prayer. Watch in prayer. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Verse 36, he tells us here, pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. How can you escape all the tribulation that the world is going to have to go through? How can you escape hell and the lake of fire? How can you escape the penalty of sin? You accept Christ as your Savior. You pray for salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the first prayer that needs to be made, or that's the one that need to be called out. If you haven't done it, do it tonight. Yes. Do it tonight. By the way, if you have done it, according to God's word, if you've done it in faith, you don't have to do it again. Right. You're born again. These children that are born were excited when they come out. Not the stuff that comes out with them, but them, you know, they're amazing. And we're excited for more little kids coming out. Somebody told me, I think it was Shirley Morris, said something about one of her grandchildren is due this next week or so, which is great. That's awesome. You know, new life is exciting. And by the way, it should be exciting. We should get excited. I remember a preacher saying, well, do you folks ever get excited? Well, we should be excited about new life. We should be excited about new spiritual life too, being born again. Pray for salvation in Jesus Christ if that is the need. Pray, verse 37, pray for understanding for Christian living, for living like Jesus would in our day. Verse 37, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. Pray for understanding on how to live the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That's part of the reason Jesus sent the Spirit of God into you, if you accepted Christ as Savior, and He dwells within you. 1 John 2, would you go there with me? 1 John chapter 2. So that when we look at the Bible, it's not just facts and figures or stories or anything like that. It is a book that we can pattern our life after and say, wow, this is a living book. 1 John chapter 2, that's where we're looking. Verse 20 and 21, 1 John 2, 20 and 21. Would you read those verses with me as we're looking here? Verse number 20 and 21. Let's read them together. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." The Holy Spirit helps guide us into living like Christ would live today. You know, it was somewhat of a fad, and a few people still do it today in the who are more famous, I should say. But the letters WWJD, how many remember what I'm talking about? Not really a fad anymore, but it was one a few years ago. You know, fads are not the best thing to get involved in. But the statement that those letters stand for make good sense for us to consider. What would Jesus do? What would He do right here? And then, based on what we know of God's Word. And by the way, Holy Spirit helps us know what He would do. Aren't you thankful for that? But it's based on what we see in Scripture. And we need to do it. We need to do it. Pray for understanding for Christian living. And then a final thought is found in verse 38 here. We'll go back to Luke 21, verse 38. "And all the people came early in the morning to Him in the temple for to hear Him." Pray for ears to be open to the gospel. Pray for ears to be open. Remember Jesus used to say, "He that hath ears, let him hear." Yeah. Pray for ears to be open to the gospel. Rodney Gypsy Smith. How many have ever heard of the evangelist? Gypsy Smith. Years ago, over 100 years ago. Was an evangelist during the time of Fanny Crosby, H.A. Ironside, and near the end of Moody, D.L. Moody's time. Gypsy was a gypsy. That's why they called him Gypsy Smith. He grew up in a gypsy family when we were over there in England. We attended a chapel where the pastor had led a whole gypsy family. And when I say family, I'm talking hundreds of people. It's like a clan. And gypsies today, they travel in caravans. That's why they call them gypsies. So they don't have home of their own, but there are places dedicated for their, they usually use campers and things like that for their home. I don't know if Gypsy lived in a camper. I'm sure he lived in some kind of a roving place. But he used to tell the story of the conversation and conversion of his uncle, who was also named Rodney. Among gypsies, it was not proper for a child to address his elders unless they were spoken to, and more so if the child wished to speak to an elder on spiritual matters. So young Smith prayed and waited for his opportunity. One day, his uncle took note of Gypsy's worn-out pants. "Laddie," he said, "how do you account for the fact that the knees of your trousers have worn nearly through, while the rest of the suit is almost like new?" "I have worn the knees through praying for you, Uncle Rodney," the boy said. Then he said with tears, "I want so much to have God make you a Christian." Yeah. And the story goes that Uncle Rodney bent his knees beside his nephew and confessed Christ as his Savior. I believe every soul that comes to Christ is prayed for. I know Jesus has prayed for him. We read that in the Scripture. But guess what? He wants to use you and me to pray for them too. And by God's grace, share the message with him if we can. No soul comes to Christ that has not been prayed for. So as we wait, as we await God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, whatever that's going to come, he says, in the meantime, watch. Watch. Watch Israel. Care for them. Pray for them. Watch God's word. Make it part of our day, every day. Watch what you love. That's important. And watch in prayer. Jesus said, my kingdom will come. But in the meantime, serve with me, live for me, faithfully. Heavenly Father, help us. Even in a time like this, Lord, this is important for us to remember. God, that although kind of other worldly events around us are happening in such a shocking sometimes fashion, we still have the truth that is for today, for the believer in Christ. Help us to watch. Help us to not be asleep, but be awake for these things, Lord, and make it important to live for you and to pray for these things that you share in Scripture. Oh God, help us to do what we need to do before, as we await your kingdom to come. I ask you to get the glory through all things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed for just a moment. I want to ask you, though we have no invitation on nights like this when we receive the Lord's table, I want to ask you, can I pray for you about anything? Maybe you're here tonight, you need the Lord as your Savior. That's what you need to pray for. I'm thankful others pray for me, but if they need Jesus, that's what I'd rather them pray for, and same vice versa if that was the need. Pastor, I need the Lord as my Savior. Would you remember me when you pray? I'm not going to say anybody's name. That's not what we do to embarrass anybody. But certainly I'd like to pray. Jesus said we ought to pray for the lost, for those that need to be found, that can call on Christ. And that's what I'd like to do. Is that the need that you have tonight? Here's my hand. Would you remember me when you close in prayer tonight? I need Jesus as my Savior. Then he says, continue with me. Continue with me. Maybe God's shown you today, he's laid on your heart a decision to make for him that would help you continue with him daily. Pastor, would you remember me when you close? And I, again, not by name, but you would pray for me. God showed me something that I can change or I can do for him that would help me. That would help me be more like him. Would you remember me when you close tonight? Pray for me. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I'll pray. Any others? Please remember me when you close. I want God's help. Final question, then I'll pray. We mentioned and looked in Scripture about praying for that one who needs the Lord. Perhaps you're here tonight and God's put somebody on your mind. Hey, there's a person on my mind I believe needs to do that. Would you remember me when you close and pray alongside me for that soul to be saved? Anybody like that? Please pray alongside me. I know some who need the Lord. Would you pray alongside me? Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. Now we ask, Lord, would you help us? There's some things that some of us said we can do that would help us continue a life that is pleasing to you. Whether that's something we need to do today or very soon, Lord, that we can do this week, we ask God that you'd help us not to just put it aside, but make it a part of our life that would honor you. Lord, some of us said we know some people, we know a person we believe is not on the path to heaven yet. But we pray that you'd help use us, Lord, use us in their life and in their soul, Lord, to come to Christ. Pray, God, that you'd use our testimony, our words, but especially use the words of Scripture and Christ to touch their heart. We pray for that tonight. May you bless our time at the Lord's table now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Doug's going to come and lead us in